I would like to welcome you today to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. Today our program is, as usual, going to be full of some great things. So I invite you and I urge you to stay tuned to our program today. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. And today the message is going to be entitled, A Promise You Can Count On. We're going to get into that message a little later in our program, but before the message, I want to point you to our music for today. We're going to hear a song entitled Coming Again. It's from the CD release entitled Wintley Phipps. Please stay tuned today. I'm sure that you're going to receive a rich blessing.
Destiny, Lord, I humble myself to Thee. Lord, I want to see Your face. Just help me. Strong. I know You will return. I know it won't be long. He is coming again. He is coming again. My destiny, Lord, I humble myself, to Thee. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
That's music by Wintley Phipps here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, the song entitled Coming Again. Let's get right to the message now. The message entitled, A Promise You Can Count On.
The book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. This is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. My message this morning, a promise you can count on. A promise you can count on. There is nothing in life more devastating than counting on a promise that fails. Most of us have experienced it at some point in our lives. All of us know what it's like, and we know how much it can hurt. People have lost houses and jobs banking on broken promises. Contracts and reputations have been lost counting on failed promises. Put your faith in men, and it won't be long before you realize that you put your hope in the wrong place. Many who have been devastated by broken promises have responded by retreating into lives of fear and suspicion. Quite frankly, it's hard for them to believe anything anyone says anymore. And maybe you're one of those kinds of people. You've been so hurt by men that what men say, you don't trust anymore. Oh, you're mighty quiet. You don't believe anyone anymore. But you can't go through life not believing anyone or anything. At some point in your life, you got to believe in someone. Amen. You have to believe something. In spite of the fact that this world is full of broken promises, you got to believe. Nowhere is promises, how men believe in promises, seen more than in the advertising world. Advertisers have learned how to exploit the imagined personal inadequacies of men and women and promise them everything from instant beauty, help me somebody, to instant happiness. Advertising is based on a very few simple theories, one of them being that everybody in our society has a weakness or an emotional need that you can make them a promise on. Another is that people instinctively respond to promises. Success in advertising depends upon how well these promises are articulated and sold. When the products, and you've seen them, promise smooth, soothing relief, you buy it. Advertising today has become the science of promise and persuasion. It is still easy for us to believe that the answer to our problem is in somebody's bottle and not hard work. Our world, brothers and sisters, is full of promises. Like the promise that there is some magic pill that you can take and your mind will run right. Help me somebody. Some of us have found that there is only one place to look where you can have confidence that every promise made will be kept. And that only place you can look is in the Word of God. Amen. And to Jesus Christ himself. It was Dwight Moody, who said, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. Most of us in the church have tried to live by claiming as many of the promises of God as we can. And there's some of us who mine the word of God, looking for yet another promise to claim. Through the years, we've learned that God alone is able to keep his promises. And one of the most devastating lessons a child learns is that people, adults, will break their promises. You learned that as a child. And you see, children assume that if someone says, I promise, that they can count on it. But from early in their lives, the faith of children and the promises of adults often get shattered. One summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small boy into bed, and she was about to turn off the light when he said, with a tremor in his voice, a little afraid, Mommy, you promised that during the next storm, you'd sleep with me. Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? The mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug and said, I can't, dear. I have to sleep with your daddy. A long silence was finally broken by this little shaky voice saying, oh, that big sissy, he's scared too. Adults learn the hard way about broken promises too, not just children. I said adults also learn the hard way about broken promises. You see, to share a secret with a friend is a wonderful blessing, but if you don't want it ever repeated, only share it with Jesus. And in these days, in this electronic world, be careful what you write in an email. Especially if you write it when you're mad. And especially if you write it when you think you're in love. When you're really in lust. Because secret emails don't stay secret long. I heard of one brother. I'll tell you, I won't tell you what profession, but he was a brother who was writing a torrid, hot love letter to a girlfriend, and his wife knew nothing about the girlfriend. All right. And one day he sent this girlfriend this email, and he went to push send, and instead of sending it to her, he sent it to all his family and coworkers. He's not in the ministry anymore. Be careful. People don't keep promises, especially when the news is juicy. I'm sure in your life you have a little black book with the names of people in your mind you do not expect them to live up to their promises. If I asked you to catalog, just go through in your mind the faces of certain people that you expect them not to keep their promises, you'll have a few of them there. You don't count on them to keep their promises. I think it was Jonathan Swift who once said that promises and pie crusts were meant to be broken. Brothers and sisters, America will never forget the day when Dr. King, an eloquent preacher, stood at the steps of the Lincoln Monument and challenged America to keep its promise of equality and fairness and freedom. He said, this promissory check from America has come back insufficient funds. America has not kept its promise, said Dr. King. Brothers and sisters, this word promise appears in the New Testament more than 60 times, and with the exception of twice, that word promise always refers to vows that God makes. It's almost as though the scriptures are telling us that the promises of men are not worth the paper or ink it takes to write it on. Listen to some of the promises Jesus made in scripture. In the New Testament, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. In John 10:9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out, find pasture. You remember, he promised Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Because of all of God's promises are sure, brothers and sisters, Titus 1:2 affirms the divine promises find their origin in one who cannot lie. That's why all of God's promises will be fulfilled, because he can't lie. Romans 15:8 says that Christ has become a servant on behalf of the truth of God to confirm promises. Hallelujah. All of God's promises are sure because God is trustworthy. Hebrews 10:23, he who promised is faithful. The New English Bible translates it this way: the giver of the promise can be trusted. Oh, I like that. We are faithless, but God is faithful. He's dependable. So search the scriptures. They are treasure chests, a treasure chest of mighty promises. And we don't study the word of God for those promises like we ought to. Like that little girl who pointed to the Bible that stood untouched on the shelf one day and asked her mommy, "Mommy, whose book is that?" And startled by the daughter's question, the mother said, "Why, honey, don't you know it's God's book?" And this little girl, her eyes wide open, said, "Don't you think we should give it back to him? Nobody around here reads it." We laugh, but we don't read it. We don't mine it for its promises. Read the word of God and new promises will break upon the shore of your discontent and disenchantment. You'll find anew that God keeps his promises. And there are several promises that will be near and dear to you as you study the word of God. Like Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The promises that I hold close to my heart: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Trust also in the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. David said, I've been young, now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed bearing bread, begging for bread. If my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, there are mighty promises in the word of God that you can mine and then just hold them close to you. One mighty promise God has made to us is the promise to answer our prayers. He has promised to answer prayer. That's a promise you can count on. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be open. Oh, and another one, another mighty of God's promises is, I will forgive your sin. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, that's a promise from God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Our God will abundantly pardon. Yes, there are promises God makes to strengthen us, to support us, to protect us, to sustain us. I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, if there is one promise that I call on God to deliver on in my life, it's to protect me. God, protect me. I don't want to let you down. I don't want to embarrass your Savior. Just keep me, protect me. But perhaps there is no greater promise Jesus has made to us than his promise of eternal life. It is the most amazing of all God's promises that mortal man can, through God's amazing grace, live forever. Hallelujah. Our text, 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise. Say it with me. This is the promise that he hath promised us. And what is that? What? Eternal life. Jesus has promised you eternal life. Someone said if our greatest need was for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was for technology, he would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need was for money, he would have sent an economist. But since our greatest need was not for any of these things, our greatest need was for forgiveness, God sent a Savior. But he sent a Savior who could deliver on a promise that no one else could deliver on. A promise of eternal life. No one else could deliver on that promise. He said, if I go away, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I've gone away, but I'm coming back. And I'm not slack concerning my promises. Amen. Brothers and sisters, no matter how difficult things are, keep your attitude positive and count on. You can, it's like money in the bank. The promises of God are like money in the bank. And you ought to walk around like you got money in the bank when you don't have any in the bank. Because the promises of God are like money, ready money in the bank. I read a story about a man by the name of Jerry who was the kind of guy somebody said you love to hate him because he was always in a good mood. You ever run across people like that? Just always in a good mood. Always had something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he had a little motto. He'd say, oh, if I were any better, I'd be twins. That was Jerry's motto. Jerry was a restaurant manager. He was a positive guy. Waitresses used to follow him from restaurant to restaurant because he had a way of motivating them. If an employee was having a bad day, Jerry was there telling the employee to look on the positive side of the situation. So one day a man went to Jerry and asked him, I don't get it. You can't be a positive person all of the time. How do you do it? Jerry replied, every morning I wake up, I say to myself, Jerry, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. And I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I say to myself, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. And I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I choose to accept their complaining, or I can point out the positive side of life, and I can choose the positive side. Yeah, right, said the man. It's not that easy, though. Oh, yes, it is, Jerry said. Life is all about choices. Things get easy when you make choices. When you choose something, it becomes easy to do. He said, when you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. Woo! You choose how you react to situations. You choose how people will affect your mood. You choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. The bottom line, said Jerry, it's your choice. This man reflected on what Jerry said, and he left town for a while. Several years later, you heard that Jerry did something you're never supposed to do in a restaurant. He left the back door open one morning, and he was held up by robbers at gunpoint. And when he was trying to open the safe, his hand was shaking. He was so nervous, and it slipped off the combination. The robbers thought he was trying to do something funny, and they panicked, and they shot him. And Jerry was rushed to the trauma center. True story. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with fragments of the bullet still in his body. The man who was Jerry's friend 6 months later after the accident, he said, When I asked him how he was, he replied, "If I were any better, I'd be twins." He said, "Well, what had gone through your mind as the robbery was taking place?" I'm telling you, when you count on the promises of God, you can walk with another kind of confidence through all the trials in your life, through all the bad situations, through all the storms in your life, because in your mind is anchored a promise from God. Amen. The first thing that went through my mind, Jerry said, was, "Oh, I should have locked that door." He said, "But then as I lay on the floor bleeding, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live or I could choose to die. And I chose to live." "Weren't you scared?" said his friend. "Did you lose consciousness?" "Jerry, yes, the paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine." He said, "But when they wheeled me into the emergency room, I looked at their faces and I knew from their faces I was in trouble. On the faces of the doctors and nurses, I saw their panic and I was afraid. In their eyes, I read," said Jerry, "he's a dead man." Jerry said, "I knew I had to take action." "What'd you do?" his friend said. "Well," I said, "there was this big nurse shouting questions at me. She said, 'What are you allergic to? Are you allergic to anything?' 'Yes,' I replied." The doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for his reply, and he took a deep breath. Jerry said, "I'm allergic to bullets." After their laughter, he said, "Look, I'm choosing to live. You go on and operate on me. I'm going to count on the promises of God. I choose to live." He said, "I learned from that day, you have a choice to live. Brothers and sisters, God has made many promises to us. But if I were asked to choose only one promise, of all the promises Jesus made, and he made a lot of promises, 'I came that you might have life, and that life might be a more abundant life.'" Jesus made a lot of promises. But the promise of all the promises of Jesus that I want guaranteed for my life, it is this promise. This is what he promised us. Even life eternal.
That brings us to the end of our message for today and to the end of our program today. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. You will want to ask for program number 223 for today. That's program number 223. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I want to wish you God's richest blessings. Please join us again for another program, but until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.